CBS Sports Radio 1450 The Hall Average Joe Show 2.0 coming at you live from the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Joining us on the Average Joe Show hotline right now is a man I'm super excited to talk about, obviously.
Did you just name drop in front of our guests by saying the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No, but okay. It certainly serves to benefit that Anthony Mason Jr., a man who played himself some great basketball through college in the Big East, and of course, not just in the Big East, but his dad also sort of ran one of the great Big East cities, Anthony Mason Sr. Anthony Mason Jr. is an interesting guy. Life after basketball, he's an actor. Yes, he was a Miami Heat draft pick. He's a host of a radio show, The Situation Room, and he joins us on the Average Joe Show hotline right now. Anthony Mason Jr., how's it going, Anthony?
Hey, it's going great. How are you?
Super good.
How are you guys? How's everything? Thank you. Thank you. That was a great introduction, too.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Well, you know, it's funny.
It's all downhill after this, Anthony.
Yeah, that's as good as...
downhill.
Anthony, I'm curious. So much of your life, obviously you're a guy, you know, who balled at a pretty high level through college, got your cup of tea in the NBA, had a chance to play overseas. At what point does Anthony Mason Jr. realize that the world is sort of about to... A lot of guys look at the end of the road for the NBA dream and think, oh, man, now I got to find something new. You looked at it as a chance to explore your acting, explore your ability to host on the radio. What was that moment like for you when you realized this isn't the end of something, it's the beginning of something else?
Yeah, it's like I never tried to figure that it was the end. It was just because... The things that I'm doing is through basketball and through my network and through the doors that basketball opened and the opportunities that basketball had out there for me. And, like, that's what I teach my kids in the Family on 3 program I run. Like, it's just so many opportunities during that time, and I just took advantage of it. And, you know, acting and film was something I like. Went to school for communication. So I would say the adjustment happened with me when I knew where my passion and drive was going and where it was for basketball. It just wasn't there. So it wasn't, you know, any time for me I felt to, like, waste any more time there so I can move on. Got my college degree, got things I wanted to do, things I wanted to create, so I just jumped out there and did it.
Well, also attached to your DNA, not only was the basketball, but the acting. Your father appeared in the movies Eddie and Celebrity, and I'm looking forward to seeing this TV show, Harlem Nights. It combines both of your things, TV and basketball. I mean, acting and basketball.
Yeah, it was a great experience. We actually just opened up the pilot premiere at the New York Television Festival just recently, like a couple weeks ago. It was a great turnout. A lot of people was there, and everybody liked it. Because it's funny to watch it one-on-one, and you watching it, but then to see a crowd's reaction. So it was a great reaction. It was great. So we're pitching it right now to try to get it picked up by a network. Hopefully now, MSG or something like that.
I saw the movie Celebrity, and to be fair, I don't know how tough of an acting gig it was for your father just to be asked to grind with model Gretchen Mould. I mean, is that fair?
I didn't know that. Like, I seen it. Like, I YouTube the episode. I was like, yo, I'm definitely finna pursue this.
So, I mean, I know how hard of an acting gig that actually is.
They're like, and in this scene, Mace,
I'm sure he kept saying, you know what? I can do better. Let's shoot this again.
Yeah, you know, I need a couple takes with that.
can you get it from the other angle too? If you don't mind,
but yeah, definitely. I mean, acting is fun, and like I said, when you just know where your passion is, drive. And like when I did the Harlem Nights film last year, I did it. And those takes and just being out there having to do the shots, the different angles, like. You know, a lot of people might be like, oh, my God, so much. But I really like every minute of it. So
yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the Family on 3, the non-for-profit that you've really sort of devoted a lot of your time to? I mean, obviously,
we're getting it filed right now. So it's like an organization we started basically like volunteer-based right now. And then we're going to turn it into a charity. But it's a youth enrichment program using basketball to show how sports and real life correlate.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to prepare the kids for the future, give them some positive exposure.
And I want to sort of follow that up by asking you about your father and about how, you know, your father was, well, here in Boston, he was one of the guys that we sort of loved to shake our fist at. I mean, Anthony Mason.
Yeah, we got to admit that.
The Anthony Mason, John Starks, Knicks, that's how I grew up learning what bad guys were. It was awesome. And so now, you know, all of these years later, to look back and to realize the way that, you know, from the other side, I'm sure you guys were doing the same thing to McHale and Bird, doing the same thing to Reggie Lewis. And that, but you talk about the way that growing up in basketball exposes you to so many other of the positives. What was it like as your father sort of was there for you and showing that basketball was an opening to so many other positives?
Yeah, I mean, just from example, like what you just said, being on Celebrity, seeing them and Eddie, watching them play every day in the NBA, you know, and the playoffs and stuff like that from back home. So just doing that. And then my pops was at an age, like, he's like 19, 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
So he was like in his 30s, when he was like in his 30s, you know, still in the league, I was in my teenage years. So I was able to go to certain places and be around him in certain events and able to get certain places because he's Anthony Mason, you know.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so I was exposed to a lot, and I feel like that was a great, like, inspiration for me to pursue other things and, you know, meet a lot of people. And, like, and then being in New York, once I came to New York, you know what I'm saying, just being under your father's shadow, knowing that you're junior and you meet so many more people because New York is just a network, like, mania. So
well, right,
so it's just great. I use it as positive and just, you know, move forward. My pops always, he was one of those guys that you can always talk to. It's funny, you know, very vibrant, you know, everybody get along with. So I'm completely like the same type of guy, very social. So
we're talking to Anthony Mason Jr. Speaking of that, Anthony, how tough was it? I mean, I guess when it came down to playing college ball, was it a blessing and a curse to be Anthony Mason Jr.?
No, I never took it as it. Like, that was another thing my pops taught us, like, just me and my other siblings and brothers. Like, I think, for example, just be your person. Like, he never, like, put the pressure. So it wasn't a pressure at home. So I never really felt the pressure outside. It wasn't like he was on. It was like, you can be who you, you know, do your thing, for sure. But he always, you know, was there as far as, like, positive, like, talking, like, this is what you got to do, and, you know, you got to play hard and all that. But I'm just saying, it wasn't a pressure, like, you got to do this. If it's not this, it's
right,
not.
Right.
It wasn't a lot of pressure from him. So when I took it, I was just Anthony Mason Jr., so, you know, it was just my name. It was great to be Anthony Mason Jr., and, you know, being the son of a legend and a great known, in, especially in the basketball world. So it was great, but it was never really any pressure. I get that question all the time.
Yeah.
It really wasn't any pressure. I didn't get it from home, so I really didn't see it outside.
It's a great reminder that really the only stuff that matters, you get all the noise on the outside, but the stuff on the inside, you know, at home is really what matters. So you go to St. John's, you tear it up in New York. I mean, you're, you know, one of my favorite St. John's players in the last 10, 15 years. And then you go to the Heat. You spend some time with the Heat. Whenever we have the guys who made the transition from college, high-end college, to the NBA, they always talk about the speed of the game. Was that the only major difference? Or was it really just trying to play both ends of the floor consistently?
I think it was more of like, you know, just falling into yourself of being a professional.
Yeah.
Like, outside of just the sport, you know, like, I think this in general, just, you should know you got to work hard. You know, the change of speed is going to change because you're dealing in a grown man sport. Like, right now, you're dealing with grown men out there. So as far as, like, the physical and the challenges of the game, like, you know what you need to do. You need to be in the gym. You need to be studying. You need to, you know, get your work in. But, like, as far as, like, the off the court, I would feel like it's just being a professional. And, you know what I'm saying? Knowing what.
Yeah.
Not to do, who to speak, and, you know, just being up on that. And that was a big change for me, like, coming from college. Because then, like you said, a cup of tea. My coach O from Miami used to say that all the time. Like, when somebody had been to the NBA just for a little short stay, like he was there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So I was there for my cup of coffee in Miami. You know, I was down there at LeBron's in them first year.
Yep.
So it was mayhem. Like, you know, it was the first time like a training camp was getting videoed and the whole world could see. So there was a lot going on. But what I learned from them guys was just being complete professionals at the same time. And it helped me out with my transition, you know, going to the pros and just, you know, investing your time wisely, you know.
Now, Anthony, you went over to France. You didn't play there very long. But were you able to judge a level of, well, lack of a better word, the fandomness to America? Do they like basketball over there?
Yeah, definitely. Overseas is like, it's because you're playing for a flag. So it's a little different than just playing for a city per se team.
Sure.
You know, we United States as a whole. So we like how we feel. For the Olympics, they feel like that every game.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they're playing for that city, that flag. They're playing for that team. Like, so I feel like they love basketball over there. So the fans, the places I've been, for sure. I remember one of my greatest experiences overseas was really I played in Bahrain for, like, the Gulf Championship little tournament over there for, like, it was like a week. I was out there for, like, 2 weeks. It was a training camp, and it was, like, a four-day tournament. But the feel and the thrill from the crowd, like, it was just so crazy, right? And they got, you know, lots of money out there in the Middle East. So.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Right, yeah, totally. It's the balls are lined with platinum, right? Anthony?
A little slick with oil.
Yo, it was crazy. Like, I'm out there, and it's hot. And I see Bentleys, and I see Ferraris, and I'm, like, one crept up on me, like, a whole Bentley coupe. You know how big the Bentley is.
Yeah.
Bentley coupe. The Bentley Spur, and it's just creeping up on me. I'm like, oh my God, amazing car. And I just see a guy like it's they in uniform, like they wear it daily in their Arab, you know, the whole
yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, like they just killing them out here. Like it's just the regular day car. Like I see like three more behind. I'm like, yo, this is the place to be. But that was a great experience basketball wise.
Well, to be fair, they
don't take them overseas. Like they just love basketball because it's like so much pride.
To be fair, they don't need winter cars.
That is true. They don't need to worry about lowering their car. So Anthony, one last question. Anthony Mason Jr. joins us on the Average Joe Show Hotline. I do want to talk because we broke the news here on the show when your father passed at the age of 48 in March. I know that you and your three siblings were able to be there. Your father at 48, I mean, I'm as a 37-year-old man, that scares the living daylights out of me to think that 11 years might be all, you know, hell, another day might be all I have left. Can you talk about sort of those final, I know they're very personal and you don't have to if you don't want to, but those final few days when you guys were all together as a family, knowing that your father's life had been so fantastic and such an incredible emblem for your entire family and everyone from, you know, from the Memphis area who really watched him become the icon that he was.
Nope.
Oh, was that off bounds? Was that off base?
No, I don't think.
Okay.
I think
Anthony,
that
you
was
still there? I think he's calling back.
Okay.
Anthony, is that you?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. No, it's okay. I thought. So what was that like getting the family together in your father's final few days, just sort of celebrating the life as it was, as the icon that he was?
It was a tough time. I mean,
yeah,
definitely with the family, and you know that was just most important to just keep me and my three siblings together because, you know, we all from different parts. They from down, like my younger brother and younger sister, Ariana and Armand, they from down south. So, you know, that coming to New York and just keeping it together because they're so young.
Yeah.
Seeing it, like, as far as me and my brother Antoine, not saying it was better, but, you know, we seen our father for our entire childhood and a lot of our adult, you know, Antoine just turning 23, but I seen him, you know, my 28 years. So it was kind of, you know, just keeping it together. But overall, like the output of like the love that you seen on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all that, you know, it kept you up in your spirits, the prayers, you know, you thank God so much for that. And, you know, you just think, all you can do is just think back on the memories. you know, so I just keep myself on the memories. And what I did was just try to stay positive as positive as I could.
Well,
while being there.
Anthony, we appreciate, I mean, you know, obviously those closing moments, those closing days with a loved one can be so difficult. And so thank you for sharing that with us. Your father, Anthony Mason Sr., is someone who, you know, despite the fact that he was sort of the guy wearing the black hat on, you know, the bad guy on those teams to us, we certainly respected the way and still respect his legacy. And we appreciate you. Anthony Mason Jr., thanks so much for joining us today, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. And thank you for
good luck with the TV show.
My father, because he is so. And, you know, RIP to my pops, you know, love you to the still around listening. So I'm pretty sure he up there smiling.
Absolutely.
And y'all talk about him. So it was a great thing. So thanks for that.
Anthony Mason Jr., we appreciate you, my friend. We look forward to Harlem Nights hitting.
Yeah, hopefully that gets picked up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got to get that picked up. That's Harlem Nights. Everybody go check out Harlem Nights.
Awesome. Anthony Mason.